Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Tell your neighbor his love came down. Come on.
Clap your hands again for Jesus. may please be seated. I believe that by praying in the Spirit, the Bible says that you are building yourself up. A lot of unspirituality comes from not praying in the Spirit for a long time. And you approach God's word with spirituality. So you want us to pray. I want us to pray. Just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Matola bayande. Marakasunda mayande. Kalimos tunere bayande. Mayandala baba. Mayande bozuma karimo sundalaba ramayande zama mayandala makandelebo ramasandala baba yandala baba yandala baba yande mako marazi madima yandala baba mayande zamala baba mayande marababa mayandala baba Mayandala Baba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mayandelebo Sotalabayande. Ramazama Yandelebo Maya. Pray, pray, pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Malababa Yandelebe. Marababa yandala bazaba mayande zi mayande debe mayande debe zi mayamama libre masande malabo sibadiba ramaza mayandala baba yata sata baba yandala ba yamala baba sotala baba Ramazandala Baba, Ramazamayande, Naras Kapato Mayande, Ramozo Mayanda, 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 Zamande, Rabasibosh Kibaneri Mayanda Laba, Rabazababa da Baba da Baba Yada Baba, Amakabo Shapa da Baba Yanda Laba, Rabadaba. Rabadaba Abandorobos Mayande Sapa Rimazima Ayande Sebadi Dadida Baba Rabada Ayamayandala Baba Yandala Baba Yandala Baba Lamazumi Masandada Baba Imando Ramazamayande. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
For the free gift, yes, of your Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For your presence.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For this great privilege, yes, great blessing.
Yes.
To be chosen. To have a place in the ministry.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
For your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 You may be seated. I want to welcome you to Stir It Up service. It's good to see Reverend George, our pastor. And it's good to see all of you. It's been a while since I've been with you. About 6 weeks or more for this service. But it's a blessing for us to gather. And I believe that this evening God will speak to us. He has a word for us. And I'm preaching tonight about loyalty. 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 The primary and the principal qualification. First Corinthians chapter 4. I'm reading from the King James Version, verse 2. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That is the King James Version. The New Living Translation says, now, a person who is put in charge to be a manager must be faithful. Hallelujah. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28, the Amplified Bible says, loyalty and mercy, truth and faithfulness protect the king, and he upholds his throne by loving kindness. The Amplified Plus says, loyalty and mercy, truth and faithfulness protect the king, and he upholds his throne by loving kindness. The easy to read version, Proverbs 20 verse 28 says, a king who is loyal and true will keep his power. Loyalty will keep his kingdom strong. So I'm reading again from the easy to read version. A king who is loyal and true will keep his power. Loyalty will keep his kingdom strong. The International Children's Bible says, loyalty and truth. Still reading from Proverbs 20, verse 28. Loyalty and truth keep a king in power. He continues to rule if he is loyal. The New English Translation says, loyal love and truth preserve a king, and his throne is upheld by loyal love. The New International Version, the same Proverbs 20 verse 28 says, love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure. So we learn from these versions that one of them which hit me is the easy to read version. It says, a king who is loyal and true will keep his power. And if you are a Basenta leader, you are a pastor, a bishop, you may not be great in the world, but in your small area of jurisdiction, you are a king. And when you are loyal in that little area, you will keep your power. When you are loyal in that area, you will be kept safe. The NIV says, love and faithfulness keep a king safe. So this evening, I want to really teach you about loyalty. You see, to be loyal means to be faithful. It means to remain the same. Not to change. It means to be dependable. That we can actually project and say that in 3 days' time, Martha will be like this, will do this. Because we can depend on Martha to do what we are expecting her to do. Now, if you are a leader, a pastor, a shepherd, the Bible says that, that's why the title of this evening's message is Loyalty, the principal qualification. The principal qualification. And that is the one of the answers our Father gives to the question, why loyalty? Why should we be faithful? Why should we be the same? Why is it important that we don't change? And in answering that question in the first chapter of loyalty and disloyalty, his first answer is that it is the principal qualification. You see, I want to read a piece of that chapter. It says, an inexperienced person is likely to think that the most gifted you are, the more gifted you are, the more qualified you are for the ministry. The more gifted you are. If you are not experienced, you may think that the more gifted a person is, the more qualified the person will be for ministry. You know, the gift of preaching, the gift of leading, the gift of organizing things, the gift of mobilizing people. These are, each one I mentioned, there's a name and a face I see. There are people with set gifts. Not everybody has those gifts. Yes. The gift of commandeering troops. The gift of ensuring that things happen. The gift of singing. The gift of oratory, oratorial skills. I mean, to speak in a way that wows the hearers. Not everybody has it. Some people have it. These are all gifts which are necessary in ministry. Now, it says that an inexperienced person is likely to think that the more of set gifts a person has, the more qualified the person will be for ministry. The ability to lead people, mobilize people, gather people, grow a church. We give you a church of 15 members. After 6 months, it is 120. It's not everybody can do that. Some people are gifted to grow churches. And if you are not experienced, you may think that people with such gifts of growing a church, leading people, commandeering people, getting things done, these are the people who are qualified for ministry. And Bishop continues and says, my little experience has shown me that it is the faithful and loyal people in church who are most qualified to be leaders. An inexperienced person would think that a friendly brother would make a good pastor. He may also think that someone with good oratory skills would make the best preacher. Do not make that mistake. The Bible, God's word, teaches us that the cardinal requirement for leadership is faithfulness and not anything else. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We need to be constant. Listen very, very, very carefully, because if you miss the subject, you may pay a very high price. You must learn as a shepherd not to be someone who cannot be depended upon. You must learn to be dependable. You see, my personal opinion is that loyalty has been lowered to about 10% in the church. You hardly find loyalty in the church. You hardly find loyalty among shepherds, pastors, bishops, reverends, bacenta leaders. You know why? I'll tell you why. Over the years, the past few years, we have witnessed extreme disloyalty, which in the stages of disloyalty I will put at about the level of open rebellion. You know, there are stages: independent stage, offense, passivity, critical, political, and all that. Now, there's at the end of it, before you are executed, before you are finished and cut off and destroyed by yourself, there is a stage there called open rebellion, where someone openly on Facebook, on social media, insults a pastor. Openly. Now, because we have become used to that level of disloyalty, many of us think that that is the only manifestation of disloyalty. Oh, that pastor is now an orangu because he has left the church. Orangus are those who have left the church. Orangus are those who are not positively oriented and disposed towards the church. Oh, that's an orangu. Those are the guys who met and were laughing at Bishop's message. They will play his message and be laughing at the message and cracking jokes with his message and so on. Oh, those are orangus. So many of us, many, most, are of the mind that is the manifestation of disloyalty. But I'm here this evening to help you. You see, because you'll be surprised that there are more orangus in the church than have left the church. There are more disloyal bishops, pastors, leaders, reverends, lady pastors in the church than have left the church. I mean, if we are talking about disloyalty, when we think of those who have left the church, we should find some Malta Guinness and drink. We should just relax, because that is very, very, very... In fact, in the first chapter, one of the reasons why loyalty must be taught, it is that it is necessary in order to fight the fifth column. That's a fifth column is the enemy within. And they are in. And I'm saying by my analysis that there are far more disloyal bishops on councils wearing cassocks. There are far more disloyal pastors bearing pastor title, reverend title in the churches than those who have left the church. But because we are increasingly becoming conditioned to the myth and deception that it is when someone breaks away and leaves the church and insults the pastor and openly rebels on Facebook, on Instagram, it's only when somebody has left the church that we say, oh, that is an orangu. But you listening to me tonight may be an orangu. It is very important that we understand that when you are not constant, you are an orangu. We can end the meeting. I've delivered the message of not much. When your pastor cannot depend on you to do something that you should do, you are an orangu. You are not dependable. You're not dependable. When you are somebody who is constantly changing, today you are here, tomorrow you are there, we see you, we don't see you, you appear, you disappear, you are present, you are absent, we can't find you, we find you, you are powerfully around, very loud, very visible, very great, then you vanish from the system. That is disloyalty. You are not constant. But the Bible says, moreover, it is a requirement in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. So tonight, I want to talk about this subject of faithfulness. Because as a minister, you must remain constant. Paul told his son, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That is, I began a race. I began a fight. I have finished fighting. That is loyalty. I began to run. I started. It's a 100 meters, 400, 1,000. I began. I have finished. I've stayed on. Running constantly. That's a pastor. That's a shepherd. The easy to read version of 2 Timothy 4, 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have served the Lord faithfully. I have served the Lord faithfully. That is, I have served the Lord without changing, without being someone who could not be depended upon. That is how to serve God. I have served the Lord faithfully. The contemporary English version says, I have fought well. I have finished the race. And I have been faithful. That's how to do ministry. You fight well. You finish the race. And you are faithful. You are faithful. You are constant. You are dependable. You are unchanging. In 2 Kings 22, verse 1, the King James Version says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah and Boscat. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right and to the left. He turned not aside to the right and to the left. He didn't change. He was on a road. After 2 years, he had turned to the right. After 6 years, he had turned to the left. No, he did it for 31 years without turning to the right or turning to the left. That is the expectation of someone who has been put in authority. Not turning to the right or turning to the left. After 10 years. After 30 years. So tonight, I want to show you Ten areas you should be faithful. Otherwise, you are a pastor in the church, but you are an orangu. You are a fifth column. And you have no business referring to someone who is insulting the church on Facebook that he is an orangu. I want to show you areas you should be very careful not to change. Areas in the ministry where you should be constant. Number one, is being faithful and loyal to your study of the Word of God, to the studying of the Word of God, to the studying of the Word of God. The Word of God, which is a major foundation for ministry, is not something you should do erratically. Studying of the Word of God is not something you should do erratically. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, Joshua says, "This book of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate," think about it, "day and night." Anything short of day and night makes your orientation towards the Word of God very, very, very evil and inappropriate. The reason why we can't have shepherds who know the Word, shepherds who can quote scriptures, shepherds who can teach the Word, is that their orientation towards the Word of God is irregular. It's undependable. You can't depend on him to read his Bible tomorrow morning. So we sit in the church with titles, lady pastor, reverend, bishop, whatever, and there's not much word in us, which eventually will show in every area of your life. It's the Word of God that makes you pray. It's the Word of God that makes you work. It's the Word of God that makes you care for the people. It's the Word of God that makes you relate, and on and on and on and on. That is why the Bible does not allow priests to be ignorant. So you see right there that you have a question to ask yourself. Are you loyal to the Word of God? Is it that thou shalt meditate therein? When Paul traveled and he looked into his suitcase and noticed that certain books and certain pamphlets were not there, he called for them. He said that, "I need the parchments." But if you traveled and you discovered, oh, you forgot your books and some pamphlets, it's your life, I mean, normal life. Because you are a disloyal shepherd as far as the Word of God is concerned. You are not faithful to the Word of God. Number two, we are closing. Faithfulness and loyalty in your effort to build the church, to build your basenta, to build your constituency, to build your center, to build your region. That effort to build must be a constant effort. It's a requirement in stewards that a man is a manager of a region, a manager of a basenta, be found faithful. And when your effort at building is regular, we see results. We see results. That's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15, said, give thyself wholly, that thy profiting is a type of loyalty. You are committed. You are not partially committed. You are not half-heartedly committed. You find leaders, even in the week, Monday to Monday, you realize that their commitment to building their bar center is not constant. At least 4 of the 7 days, they are off, switched off. Then when it is maybe Thursday, the day of the bar center, then they remember that they are leaders and they begin to mobilize people and they begin to work. When it is Sunday morning, you see them. But I'm telling you that whether you are having a meeting or a service on a day or not, should not reduce your commitment to the building of what God has put into your hands. Yes. The people who do business, who are selling iron rods and sand and stones, they are on it every day. You may think he's at home because he is at home, but he may be working more at home than even in the office. Calling people, making arrangements, checking on the shopkeeper, checking on his administrator, checking on his secretary. Our minds are on what is important to us, engages us every day. Every day. But when you come to the church, you see that the effort to build the church waxes and wanes, ebbs and surges. In Philippians 2 verse 19 to 23, Paul said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with you. The people we send, the people we deploy, the people we put in charge of things are not people who are wishy-washy, here a little, there, we can't find him, we see him today. The people we put in charge of things are people who are committed constantly. All seek their own. On Sunday morning, all are seeking the ministry. On Thursday evening, all are seeking the ministry. But on Tuesday evening, some don't seek the ministry. On Friday morning, Friday the whole day, you commit yourself to the things that are important to you. And then when it is time for a church service or a meeting, you appear as if you love what you are doing. But the truth is that you cannot be dependent upon. You see, the effort to build the church must be a constant effort. Any building site where you go there and you see workers building only on Tuesdays. That building, that site, will grow weeds very soon. God is calling us to be dependable. To be dependable in the effort we put into building our things, the effort we put into mobilizing, the effort we put into building our regions. You see that sometimes there is no constantness, constancy. This Sunday, 15 people come. The following Sunday, 7. This Sunday, 200. The following Sunday, 120. And there's no sense of urgency or emergency. What is wrong? Let's check the data. Mary, stand up. Francis, stand up. What is happening? No, at all. It's normal. Oh, it just the rain fell and things happened and they just couldn't come. Let's believe God that next week things are going to happen. But when it comes to your personal life, the effort you put into your things is constant. Number 3. Faithfulness and loyalty in your commitment to the sheep. Commitment to the care of the sheep. Commitment to the care of the sheep. In Romans chapter 1 verse 9, Paul said, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing," without stopping, that's faithfulness, "without stopping, I make mention of you always in my prayer." The prayer he prays for the people is always without stopping. But we pray once a month. I'm showing you that you are not walking in loyalty as a leader. Your care is erratic. Your care for the sheep, evidenced by your prayer life, how you think about them, when and how long you think about them, the attention you give them, is too erratic. And you see, it is that erratic trend of care that leads to erratic numbers in attendance. Few people can do things and continue to do them. They just do, it's just you can close your eyes and when you open, the person is still doing the same thing. When you remember your sheep, you call. Then you go off for 2 months. When you meet him in town, then you remember that he doesn't come to church anymore. No, that's a lawyer. That is a steward. A steward cannot live like that. For a steward, we expect how you care, how you pray for, how you visit, how you interact with them to be without season. Constant. If you don't do that as a leader, you are disloyal. You are not loyal. You are not faithful. Number 4. Faithfulness or loyalty in the amount of energy and strength you put into the work. The church will not be built with erratic input of energy and strength. When you are in a good mood, you give the work your strength. When you are not in a good mood, we don't find you, or you just give just a little. No, that's not how this church has been built. That's not how our beautiful UD has been built. Close to 40 years, Bishop has given the church constancy of effort and energy. That's how we have what we have. But when it got to your turn, you give it a little at a time when you don't feel like you don't even appear. And it's time for us to rise up and be loyal and be constant. Constant in the amount of energy you give, constantly. You are on it constantly. It's called diligence. It's called diligence. That word is just a variant of loyalty. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 11. He said, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. As my strength was back then, when my pastor sent me to Mataeko to be a pastor, even so is my strength, both for war, to go out and to come in. Can you say that your strength you had for the work 10 years ago is the same strength now? That's a problem with you. You are disloyal. You are disloyal. You are not loyal. Can you say that the energy you put into your singing 5 years ago, 7 years ago, when you were wowing us on the stage, is it that same energy you are putting into your singing? Certainly not. So you always see that the trajectory of our indices is just bizarre. Up, down, here, there, just bizarre. There's no pattern. Take your own work. Take the hours you put into singing, the hours you put into prayer, the hours you put into teaching, the hours you put into mobilizing. Take your numbers, the number of members in your whatever group that comes to church. Check it. You see that there is no pattern except the pattern of a bizarre appearance. But your personal life is not like that. Loyalty in the amount of energy you have for the work. He said, I am now 80 what? Verse 10. I'm now 85 years old. 85 years. 85 years. He had been doing ministry for 45 years. After 45 years, his strength hasn't changed. That is loyalty. And it hasn't changed not because God tuned him to be that, like that. It hasn't changed because he has given that amount of energy to the work. You dare call someone an orangu. You dare to call somebody disloyal. I'm asking you to check. Look at whatever you claim you are a leader of. And look at the trend. Is it as it was 3 years ago? Can we trust you to bring the same number of people you brought to church last Sunday, next Sunday? Can we trust you? Number five. Faithfulness in the amount of time you put into the work. The time. Because one of the things you need to be aware of as a leader is that you are in a constant battle with the affairs of this life for time. Your children are taking your time. Your business is taking your time. Your health is taking your time. Your wife is taking your time. Your husband is taking your time. Your work is taking your time. And it is very important that you engage all these entities so that God's work doesn't suffer. If you don't fight, there will be no time for the work of God. There will be no time for prayer. There will be no time for the study of the word. There will be no time for ministry if you are not careful. Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, stopping all forms of worship and prayer in the kingdom of Babylon, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Loyalty. As he did aforetime. The king's laws could not change his commitment to prayer. The demands of his business could not change his commitment. The demands of his work, the demands of school, the demands of exam could not change. Could not alter his commitment to prayer. From today, you are going to begin logging the amount of time you put into God's work every day. Yes. Yes, do it just for 2 weeks. You will see that you are a disloyal, undependable person. And surely, you will never profit. When you see people whose output is persistently low, you may not tell them, but in the head of any serious leader, he knows that this person is not constantly making the effort to make it work. Because the Bible says, in all labor, there is reward. When you find someone who can't gather people to church, who can't build a church service, who can't continue to be around, you are looking at someone who is unfaithful. It's a trait. And when someone shows it in one area, I'm telling you that it is also existing in other areas. Number six, we are ending. Faithful and loyal in honoring and following the anointed in your life. following and honoring. You find people who can never be anointed. And the ministry we are doing is not by hard work and screaming and shouting. It's the anointing. If you are not anointed, if you're not anointed and you work hard, you get tired after 2 days. If you are not anointed, hard work will not help you. It cannot be sustained. The anointing is what sustains our effort. It's the anointing. And one of your responsibilities is to learn how to follow hard and honor hard. Elisha followed Elijah hard. I'm not interested in having a Bible study with you about Elijah and Elisha. Go back and read. Even the person he was following was trying to discourage him. At every point, he would ask him to stay behind. He said, no, I'm going with you. Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, Jordan, I'm coming with you. Not to mention the people outside who were laughing at him. But he pressed till the mantle fell on him. That's why you will never be anointed. You just be in the church, just carrying a title, walking up and down, but you are really not anointed. You see, anointing is not by how you speak or how you act and what you do. The anointing is essentially a result. We see you are anointed by the results. It's not by what you are doing. Because some people just know very well how to please the eye. Elisha followed in spite of different circumstances that fought him. You cannot even be around constantly. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, the easy to read version said, but my servant, let's read the King James. Let me pleasure your eyes a little. Numbers 14, 24, KJV. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land where into he went, and his seed shall possess it. The following, he has persisted. The easy to read version said, but my servant Caleb was different. He follows me completely, so I will bring him into the land that he has already seen, and his people will get that land. May you get that land. May you get that town. May you get that community. May you get that city. May you get that family. I said, may you get that family. In 2 Samuel 19, verse 31 and 32. I'm taking it from the New Living Translation. Barzillai the Gilead. Barzillai of Gilead had come down from Rogelim to escort the king across the Jordan. New Living Translation. Barzillai of Gilead had come down from Rogelim to escort the king across the Jordan. 32. He was very old. 80 years of age and very wealthy. He was the one, Barzillai the Gileadite. He was the one who had provided food for the king during his stay in Mahanaim. The same man who provided the king with food long ago in Mahanaim is the one who came to also escort the king. the same man, may the honor, may the respect, may the value you place on an anointed person not wane. I'm not old, but I've lived long enough to watch the comedy of fluctuating loyalty. The comedy. It's comical to watch. People who cannot even sustain how they honor a person. I've watched it. And I look at it and I just laugh in my head. And such people never get anointed. Such people eventually are shocked that relationships which existed before don't exist anymore. Yes, because when that's why I said the anointed is sensitive to reactions. And Barzillai, he was old. He could have been at home. This is the David who had been chased by his son, had been harassed in the forest. Eventually he was coming back to Jerusalem. Barzillai, 80-year-old man, old, but he came because that is all he knew to do. He has done it before. He has been doing it. So he's still there. The king is coming. Let's escort him. If you were Barzillai, by this time, you've got switch sides to Absalom's side. If you were Barzillai, you've got switch sides. Number 7. Faithfulness and loyalty in your effort to be present at meetings. In your effort to be present at meetings. Our good old, we can't just move away from our good old Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As a manner of psalmist. 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 They'll come up with excuses. I'm here. I'm this. My sister is sick. My drain. I'm not well. I'm whatever. But the same person has given the entire day and its attention. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As a manner of psalmist. But exhorting one another. I'm exhorting you tonight. I'm exhorting you tonight. That we expect loyalty and faithfulness in your presence at meetings. Yes. The name. Tonight, all I'm doing is that I'm giving the right name. Can you imagine somebody is called Vera and you shout at her, Joanna? She won't come. I'm giving the right names to behaviors. It's disloyalty not to appear in meetings and give bogus explanations and bogus excuses. It's expected of me. If there's a meeting, I'm supposed to be I must be there in cardigan if I've got a fever. You have no idea what I have been through as I've preached to you many times in this church. In 2 Samuel 15, verse 21, the New Living Translation, it says, "But Ittai said to the king, I vow by the Lord and by your own life that I will go wherever my lord the king goes, no matter what happens, whether it means life or death." We don't have that in town now. We don't have Ittai's in town now. We don't have Ittai's in town. Choosing and selecting. The meetings where they are prominent, that's where they appear. The meetings where they, like, the spotlight will be on them, they come. When they are not very... When they are not playing any important role, it's not important anymore. But when they are supposed to be the main people, they are there. And they come up. I'm saying to you that you must not come up with bogus excuses. when there is a meeting, you must be there. When your pastor is having a meeting somewhere and you are not there, you are a disloyal person. If I am having ATM, I'm having some meeting, and everybody must be online, and you are not there, you are a disloyal person. See, and sometimes, based on maturity, it's not everything we say to people, but it's in our heads. And depending on the depth of the person, you can be with him for 1,000 years and never know how he thinks about you. You only hear nice words. Number 8. We are closing. It's a short meeting. But before we read verse 8, let me take you to Acts 2. How the church was built. This is how the church was built. Loyalty to meetings. Yes. The church we are copying, it was built through verse 42. Acts 2. 42. King James. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And then in breaking of bread and in prayers. Each of these types of meetings was important. And they, that's how the church is built, by all members, all leaders who appear when we are eating, who appear when we are praying, who appear when we are just fellowshipping, continued steadfastly. This is how the church is built. Not by people who appear when it's a Sunday, who appear when they are well, but when they are not well, they don't appear. I'm very happy. I really thank God. You see, the message I'm preaching, not many people can preach it because they are not practitioners of this. Yes, yes, yes. I thank God that not once, not twice, I have crawled on all fours to enter the church to preach. Crawled like a goat. Because I couldn't walk. Because I must come and preach. There are many, many times I've sat here 20 minutes before climbing the stage. I have wept like a baby sitting here. Not once, not twice, not three, not four, not five, not six. Because I feel that I am committed to you. And you feel that your commitment must be fair weather. When it suits you. When you are well. Wow. I think I'll start also coming to church when I feel well. Oh, yes. I have no commitment to you. If I don't feel well, I will not come. I just ask them separately, teach them and let them go to wherever they want to go. Is that how a church is built? Is that how a church is built? Yeah. So I'm teaching you tonight that the expectations of you is nothing else but constancy. Constancy. Number 8. Faithfulness and loyalty in your financial commitments. Your tithes, your offerings, your pledges, your support. You're a leader, you don't pay tithes. You pay when you want to pay. You pay when you don't have any financial commitment. You pay tithes when you remember. Oh, you are disloyal. Yes. And there are consequences for disloyalty. There are consequences. Except that they don't happen overnight. Some take 10 years, 20 years. But read your Bible carefully. Nobody got away with disloyalty. Nobody got away with disloyalty. I'm talking now about your financial commitment. You can't be a leader whose commitment to the work, financial commitment to the work, cannot be found. You can't say you are helping to build a church when your money is not an integral part of the work. A leader, at least your offerings, your tithes. Your pledges. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, I'm reading from the Living Bible. You may want to listen to the living Bible. But even so, you have done right in helping me in my present difficulty. As you well know, when I first brought the gospel to you and then went on my way, leaving Macedonia, only you Philippians became my partners in giving and receiving. No other church did this. No other pastor did this. No other member did this. Even when I was over in Thessalonica, you sent help twice. So you see a pattern. A pattern. These are helpers. That's the church we want to pastor. In verse 14, he is talking about his present difficulty. Even so, you have done right in helping me. Like right now, you are helping me in my financial difficulty presently. Now, you are helping me. But I want to remind you that you are a loyal person, because back then, remember that you sent help twice back then in Thessalonica. So I'm not surprised that you are helping me now. But we find people who help yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yes. Yes. Fine protocol will prevent me from making some comments. Fine protocol. And good upbringing. When you sow the seeds of unfaithfulness, all you are doing is you are triggering and opening doors for unfaithful people to surround you. Oh, yes. That's exactly what you are doing. My time is up. I would have taken you through patterns I've seen in my life. I've seen in people. The very thing they did to someone was done to them beautifully and with ease. When was the last time you paid tithes? When was the last time you paid tithe for 8 months without fail? Ah, I forgot to ask the question. When was the last time you paid all the tithes? Because there's such a verse in the Bible that we must bring ye in all the tithes. Most of what we call tithes are donations. Yeah, the blessing of the tithe is not on it. And you are free to donate. Number 9. Faithfulness and loyalty. Faithfulness and loyalty to minister to people from all backgrounds. And not be a specialist at ministering to beautiful girls. And rich men. And people who can give you food. You must be constant. You minister to the rich, to the poor. Some of you also have made yourself specialists at ministering to area boys and Zongo boys. They were bought by Christ's blood. But they are also proper other type of East Legon people. And you cannot pack your church with area boys. You cannot pack your church with area boys. And that's why you must groom yourself to learn how to speak to the rich and to the poor, to the old and to the young, and engage them with authority. Romans chapter 1 verse 14, King James Version says, and I read up to verse 15, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Also, I owe the Greeks a ministry. I owe the barbarians a ministry. I owe men a ministry. I also owe girls a ministry. You cannot be a guy who only ministers to girls. I'm called to the ladies. I'm the ladies' man. You cannot be around a guy who is handsome. You must fall in love with him and start sleeping with him or start engaging the person. Or some of you cannot even be around somebody you like and not touch the person. I'm the touchy type. All backgrounds. Yeah, when you come to your bar center, we shouldn't see half normal human beings. We should see proper human beings also. And finally, number 10. Faithfulness in the face of opposition and challenges. You remain faithful in the face of opposition. In the face of challenges. In the face of challenges. My dear friend, anybody who expects to do ministry and to serve God without opposition is immature. Anybody who expects to do God's work without anything impeding your effort, anything fighting you, is unprepared psychologically. Make up your mind that it's a fight. And Paul called it a fight. He called it a fight. And that is why I am even excited that particular scripture is in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. It's 24/7. 24/7. Yes, 24/7. It's a fight 24/7. Yes, I have fought. I have run. It's a 24/7 type of fight. Get ready. You'll be opposed. You'll be opposed. You'll be opposed. There are things arranged to stop you. Olivia, you want to sing for God? You want to serve God? Expect your mother, your friend, society, your body, your husband, your child, circumstances. Expect it. We are not standing here because nothing has fought us. Actually, look at Matthew 16, verse 18. What happens when you are building the church? Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, that word hell, Hades, we call it Hades, Hades. Among other meanings, it also stands for uncomfortable situations. Yes, the gates of hell. It's not just an inferno or just hellfire or Hades. Check your Bible carefully. It also means uncomfortable situations. But when you want to build the church, one of the things that will fight you is uncomfortable, difficult, disturbing situations. Uncomfortable situations with your child, with your mother, with your finances, with your health. Learn tonight, I'm telling you that the church is not built in the face of uncomfortable situations. They oppose you. They oppose you. If you're expecting to build the church without facing uncomfortable situations, then you are not ready in your mind. The gates of hell is not just devils. It's not just a fire. It's also uncomfortable situations, difficult situations. They militate against, they oppose our efforts at building the work, building the church. And one of your major enemies in the ministry will be uncomfortable times. Yes, unfavorable times. These times don't favor me, but I'm still in the meeting. I'm still in the meeting. I'm in unfavorable times financially. I'm in unfavorable times emotionally. My health is not the best, but I'm there. Because if it was a prayer meeting for healing, you would have come to sit there to collect healing. Ladies and gentlemen, in Acts chapter 4, verse 19 and 20, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You yourselves should judge. Should I listen to you? Or I should listen to God? Should I listen to my circumstances? The Bible says that he who regardeth the wind shall not sow. When you have regard for what is going on around you, you will not do what is right. And those you find doing things that you are benefiting from have done it through opposition and challenges and frustrations. Bible says fierce within and fightings without. That's how the work you are enjoying, the chair you are sitting on. When I come to church and I see the chairs, I remember my hypertension. The chairs, even the chairs. How they came to be here. You have no idea where we have come from. And you think that in your time, you can just be around and carry titles and just be around and go through. Loyalty is expected of you. And when you don't walk in these levels of faithfulness, what happens to you? What is the result of somebody who doesn't apply constancy, dependability, faithfulness, loyalty to his work as in the ministry? Hosea, my last verse. The New English Translation, Hosea chapter 6, verse 4. The New English Translation says, and you can listen if you don't have it, what am I going to do with you, O Ephraim? What am I going to do with you, O Judah? For your faithfulness is as fleeting as the morning mist. It disappears as quickly as dawn's dew. Your faithfulness is as fleeting as the morning mist. It disappears as quickly as the dawn's dew. So what should I do with you? I'm with you. The people we bring around us are people we expect to see when we turn around. Not people who, like, when you turn, the chair is empty. When we turn, he's not there. No. So what do I do with you? Oh, Ephraim, what should I do with you? Oh, Judah, what should I do to thee? For your goodness, this is faithfulness, is as the morning cloud and as the early dew, it goes away. Yes. The New English Translation says, your faithfulness, it disappears. A pastor comes to church and is expecting that the attendance he saw last week is the attendance you see this week. Oh, that disappeared. It's just a mist. It was a charade. Some bogus presentation. Just for the moment. Then after 3 days, it just disappears into them. And such people will never find their place around somebody who is serious about what he's doing. No. And I want you to rise to your feet right now. Don't clap at all. Don't clap. Just lift your hands and pray. Pray for yourself. Pray. Me, I'm praying that I'll be around my pastor for the rest of my life. That I'm praying that when he turns, he must see my face there. Oh, yes. The things I have done that he has been happy with, I am praying that I will still continue to do them. I'm praying. It's my prayer. Yes. I don't know what the ministry means to you. I don't know what God's work means to you. I don't know what the privilege to do ministry means to you. But tonight, God is bringing us a warning. Don't think you can be around with unfaithfulness, unpredictable, undependable attitude and posture. That we can never be sure about you. We can never tell what you will do the next time. You shine and your light goes off. Lift your two hands, everyone. Malabos kabran debedebe. Mamos ima makatan debedebe. Rima satu makatabayan dalabaza. Everybody is praying. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Mante kapasutaba. Rima kanda grosti mayati mamalababa. Ramazan dalababos kapade mazandalaba. Ramama, Lord, make me faithful, dependable, constant, not changing. Oh, Jesus. Ramama, put it in me, Lord. Put the spirit in me. Put the spirit in me. Makapayandala Baba. Ramazande Mamoramayandala Baba. Put it in me, Lord. Put it in me, Lord. The spirit of faithfulness. 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 What was in Joshua? That spirit.
Yes,
he has another spirit. Everybody is unfaithful, but not Joshua. He had another spirit. Mayato mayandalaba. Rema samando. Amalia dos amandalababa. Ramamazimayandalababa. Ramazata Badababa Yandala Baba, Ramazama Yandala Baba, Ramazandala Baba, Yandala Basata Babaya, Ramazandala Baba, Kandebo Samayandelebe. Father, we thank you. 10 areas you should be faithful. Number one, being faithful and loyal to the study of the Word of God. Number two, being faithful and loyal to build, in your effort to build, in your effort to build. Number three, being faithful and loyal in your commitment to the care of the sheep. Number four, being faithful and loyal in the amount of energy you put into the work. Number five, being faithful and loyal in the amount of time you put into the work. Number six, being faithful and loyal in honoring and following the anointed in your life. Number seven, being faithful and loyal in your effort to be present at meetings. Number eight, being faithful and loyal in your financial commitment to the work you are doing. Number nine, being faithful and loyal to minister to people from all backgrounds. Number 10, being faithful and loyal in the face of opposition and challenges. Lift your hands and pray again for the spirit to enter you. For the spirit to enter you. For the spirit to enter you. Not changing, faithful, constant, constant, constant,
may we be constant,
constant,
in the name of Jesus,
constant, 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 Lambraka Sata, Ramama Sata La Baba, Mayama Mazunde de Bosa, Kebosa, Kebosa, Baduna Mayanda La Baba, Ramazanda Nimos Tebre Mayanda. Mayandala Baba. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We are grateful. We say, let your will be done.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makanair Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.